We are Vineyard.
I believe now more than ever that the Lord has his hand on the vineyard in a way that is causing frustration to the enemy in terms of disrupting things that I just haven't experienced. At Better Together, we're there, we're doing the thing, great things are happening, and then we're under like this major tornado watch where we're like the whole building and the parking lot starts flooding.
Yeah.
And we have to start like plan B, like water literally starts coming through the ceiling.
Yeah.
There's just things like that. Or we had one of our national conferences, a total power outage minutes before a session starts.
Yeah, literally all gone.
Yeah. Just zap, done. Yeah. And we are all like,
what do we do now?
What are we going to do? How are we going to divert?
There's thousands of people.
Yeah. However many people. And there just have been so many things like that have happened.
Yeah.
And so when you start talking about logistics, and then you're also trying to figure out, like, I hate this phrase, but like the devil in the details. It's like the amount of prayer and intercession that's also needed.
Yes.
Over things like light fixtures.
Yeah, totally.
I've never prayed so hard for
sound and worship.
Yeah,
and
all of that.
Yeah,
you know,
totally. Travel, the amount of times people can't get to the event.
And you're like, okay, well, who's up? Like, who you're going to tag in? And so the event logistics can be monstrous.
Welcome to the We Are Vineyard podcast, conversations to help us grow with Jesus and each other. In today's episode, Jay will be interviewing Christian Weber, events director for Vineyard USA. Let's listen in.
All right, Christian, here we are in the steeple.
In the steeple.
That's where we are. I was joking with both Annabeth and Nicole that could be the recording label, the steeple.
Yeah, I think that's great.
You like that?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, okay, so Christian, you have worked for Vineyard USA since when?
2004. This is my 20th year.
2004. So you started when you were 12.
Right. That's exactly right. That's exactly right. Yeah.
2004. Is a long time ago.
Mm-hmm.
And what were you hired? What was your specific job when you were hired?
I came on as Bert's personal admin.
Okay.
And to do events.
Oh, okay. Okay.
And I was also kind of working for the church a little bit too, doing some like accounting, you know, receipts, credit card
stuff
reconciliation,
you
know, the
do.
Stuff that needs to be done extra.
Okay. That makes sense. Okay. So you're hired then, and of course, we've already done a podcast with your story, and so we'll put that in the show notes. If you want to hear all of Christian's story, you can hear that. 20 years, a lot has changed.
Yeah.
And then a lot has changed in pretty recent years. I reviewed this a bit with Bubba, where it's like, he was pretty much saying, we go from what amounts to two or three, depending on how you do the math, executive level, with maybe another 10 admin, project management, and accounting support, to somewhere in the neighborhood of 50.
Yeah.
Now, that's in a...
I'm so giggly.
It's crazy to think about.
It's crazy, yeah.
That's in right at and under 4 years. It's a big difference.
Yeah.
So say a little bit about just what you've seen shifting by way of how we're able to move and behave differently and respond differently with as a staff is the Vineyard, because you've seen a lot of change. And part of why we're doing these interviews with different people on our team is for them to say, okay, 3 years later, 4 years later, in your case, 20 years later, here's what I can see that's different, that is really interesting and helpful, or, you know.
Yeah, I mean, gosh.
Only a few things, I imagine, but...
Yeah.
Or everything, but yeah, I'm just...
I think one of the things that sticks out to me the most is... Well, there's two. And even, I can even hear Phil and Jan in my...
I can't wait.
...mind's eye.
Even and they're better.
Like, you know, like, blessed are the flexible.
Right.
You know, you're leading... You always have, like, one foot in the air.
Yes.
Preach, pray, or die at a moment's notice. Like, all of these things start coming up, and then... our team was like very small and scrappy.
Yeah.
And the team really wanted to do whatever it took to get the job done. And yet there was a sense that there was so much to do.
Yeah.
I will speak, you know, speaking for myself, would often feel like, man, I don't know that we could ever quite get there.
Yeah.
Like,
you're just bailing water all the time.
You're just bailing water.
Right.
And there was a point at which it felt like we were super reactionary to things that were just like happening in people's lives and churches.
Right.
And at the same time, there was an undergirding of need, like real need for, I don't know, training, equipping, checking in on people, just being pastoral.
Yep.
To pastors, that was always in the heart and probably at the core of what we wanted to be doing, but a lot of times didn't feel like we could actually get there because there was so much that needed immediate or urgent attention.
Yep.
And so I think over the course of the years, you can just see like there are certain moments where it was like, man, if we could just get out from under whatever the thing is.
We're not, this is a busy month because we have this or that event. And if we could just do that, oh no, now we have this new crisis we have to respond to. Oh no, now we just had this pastor die and we probably need to whatever.
Yeah. And anywhere within the country. And you know, and people are flying all over the place just to be in proximity and in person with somebody.
Yes.
You know, and thankfully, like when Zoom became a thing, like we had go-to meeting
The early go-to days. Meeting, that's right.
You know, it kind of helped, but it wasn't, it definitely wasn't a replace.
Right.
A replacement for that. So I think just having more people on the team to be able to think about, just think about the care and keeping and stewardship of the vineyard and what God has called us to do to lead the movement. Mm. It feels like when everyone is in a lane, multiplied times however I mean, I'm not a math whiz, but you know what I mean.
Yeah, well you get to be proactive too.
It's incredible to have people that are thinking about like the calendar and the rhythms, or to have people thinking about pastoral care and soul care and church health, and you know how to bring your church from 100 to 200 to 300 people. Partnerships, you know, like there's just so much that it's like, man, if we have like real horsepower, you can pretty much move dirt.
We can do it.
Yeah, right.
That's right. That's good. And then, you know, for you specifically, as you're focused on events, how have you seen the events world change a little bit? I'm starting to laugh because I'm just immediately as I say that, I think through meetings, I can see the meetings in my mind with you where we're like, all right, so now we're going to have a national conference every year for at least 4 or 5 years. And then we're going to have Better Together. And then we have the regional things. And we're going to grab all that nationally. Mm-hmm. And I just can remember being in meetings with you where you're like, what? How is that going to happen?
Yeah, I was like going to melt. it's definitely going to melt. That's even using that as an example of our team.
Right.
You know, for so long, it was kind of like, we would get into a room with a bunch of ideators.
Yes.
Which was awesome and wonderful.
Right.
And then it was like, all right, Christian,
you got this. Make it happen.
And not to discount all the work that a bunch of people really did. Like, it took a full team to make stuff happen.
But a lot of it was volunteer.
But a lot of it was volunteers.
Yeah.
And a lot of it was challenging when there was no bandwidth for, like, me to even be able to create relationships with people to build a volunteer team.
Totally. Yep.
Or I've had more conversations with pastors in the last 3 years that were somewhere, you know, they were very nice and pleasant, but it was somewhere along the lines of like, oh, you're like a real human who wants to have a conversation.
Because
I was always in such high getting things done mode that I didn't have time to actually talk to people. And I didn't have time to participate in ministry or to care for people in the way that I really wanted to, or to show up in the way that I really wanted to, because it was like, we have stuff to do. And so even that, like adding people that had shared responsibility of making things happen at an event. I mean, I just think, and we've had several conferences now where people have noticed a difference of like, oh, this just like works a little bit better. It feels a little bit better. It's like, yeah, because we have people now that are sharing the responsibility of building the blocks, you know?
Yes.
And so I still get occasionally kind of like, what do you do now? And how, what is
people say that to you?
Yeah, because I think it's hard. Gosh. You know, when you run events at your church, whatever size your church is, you kind of just like depend on your staff team, right? And you're like, hey, we're going to do this thing, right? And everyone's going to have their role, but it's all the roles that they're already kind of assigned. You don't have like a conference person or events person typically on a church staff, right?
Yeah.
Even though you do, you just that's not their title.
Right.
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 And so it's hard, I think, sometimes for people to have an orientation to why this is, why that role is the thing that needs to be done. And so when we start talking about how the different types of events we want to do with our leaders and pastors,
right,
they're not always like national conferences that are for full families. Sometimes they're equipping events, or sometimes they're more relational, or sometimes they might be meant for, you know, like just even just like leadership stuff, what's the Vineyard doing, and are we asking our regional and area leaders to make something happen? So, and trying to put all of that into a calendar in a way that helps healthy rhythms be put in place.
Yep.
You know, again, if you're at any church, most of your strong leaders wear multiple hats, and it's not different in the Vineyard, right? You have lots of our pastors wear multiple hats, and so we've got national responsibilities on top of local church responsibilities. Mm-hmm. And so part of my job, as I see it, is to help create spaces so that our local pastors can actually be in their churches while also still serving the Vineyard and the Vineyard pastors. So
So you can help them. Whereas what you were saying before, I was, and you know, we've not been in a single meeting I'm aware of as a national team where at some point somebody doesn't say, how in the world were Phil and Bubba doing this? You know, because though we had other roles assigned, they're catching a theological question, a pastoral problem, a financial issue, some world news problem. I mean, it was just like, they're just sort of the catch-all of everything. And in the same way you're describing, you're just making all the events happen with whatever volunteers you have, which is why when, you know, I show up and our team shows up and we're like, all right, we're going to do not less, we're going to do more. Mm-hmm. And we're going to do it in a really intentional, rhythmed way where these things all connect. It was only natural for you to say, that can't be done. This is insanity. But then we've built teams to accommodate that differently.
Yeah. And I think we also have different buy-in.
Yes.
I mean, I do think there is a difference when you have somebody whose job it is to care for these things and to make them go well with intention versus ideators that have a ton of energy for creativity and creating a thing, but not necessarily tasked with executing it.
Yeah, they're not responsible to run it all the way through.
Right.
Yeah,
totally. And I mean, I'm totally guilty of this too. It's like, I have all the energy for an idea.
Yeah.
And then it's like, okay, well then will you lead that thing? And you're like, whoa.
No, I'm not going to do that. Right. Yeah,
I
mean, totally.
I would love to, but I already have X, Y, and Z that I'm doing. And so sometimes it can feel a little like, there's nobody there waiting to actually help you make it happen.
Yes.
And that's just hard. And so you want to melt.
And we've shifted teams to get things done. Yeah. I mean, I was just at, as you know, we went with our family to the Rose Bowl. And I had a moment with Danielle. We were walking because, you know, we've been to the parade. Then you walk over the bridge. Mm-hmm. You know, they pretty much take over a whole section of the city. You know? So you're walking through somebody's neighborhood and then there's people selling things and there's cops and there's places that buses go. And then there's people who are like tailgating just there for the day. There's people that are in like RVs and campers and this whole grass lot over here. And they've got their setups and, you know, and then of course there's all the normal things at a game. There's concessions and there's somebody selling sweatshirts. And then they have the whole fandom thing out front. So they've got these big screens, they got all these booths. But then they have the designated tailgates. So you can spend more money and you go to the one special tailgate or the Ohio State tailgate or the Oregon alumni. And we're walking around and I said, Danielle, I would, this just shows you what a nerd I am. I would pay money to sit in like the 6 months of meetings mm-hmm. before this event.
100%.
I can't even imagine what they effectively do is drop a city inside of a city. I mean, the Rose Bowl is 100,000 people. There's another like 50 to 100 outside, mm-hmm. plus the parade. And the logistics are everyone's coming from the outside. So there's no home crowd.
Right.
So what's amazing is watching people literally wandering, looking at each other going, where do you think the entrance is? Like there's nobody that knows. Like the entire fan base is new, mm-hmm. like that day. I was like, I can't even conceive of the amount of work to pull this off. Like, and we do church every week, right? Where, mm-hmm. so in other words, we kind of do events. Like,
right.
we move hundreds or thousands of people around. We have food, we have bathrooms, we have security protocols, we have places to drop kids. So, I mean, I have some of that stuff in my head, but it's, so you're not doing quite the Rose Bowl when we do national conferences. Mm-hmm. But you're doing something close to the Rose Bowl because it's multiple days. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's not just one event and everybody just get out of here.
Right.
People are coming from everywhere. It's housing, food. I mean, I don't know. We've mm-hmm. done the meetup tracks or the workshops. Those are
yeah.
dozens of things happening.
Yeah.
So, I mean, like, yeah, Christian, I mean, when you say, I mean, like big event things like Exponential, which we're going to know. Mm-hmm. I think they have like 7 full-time staff to run that event a year out. So they just, now they do a few medium-sized stuff too. Mm-hmm. I don't think people quite conceive of the amount of detail required, recruiting of volunteers, alignment of stages and flow charts of stuff and... Mm-hmm. It's a lot of work.
Yeah. And like something like Exponential, mm-hmm. who've been blessed to have the same venue mm-hmm. year over year, which is huge because yes. you're not recreating
yes.
that logistics wheel.
Yes.
You know, our team moves. By the way, if you're listening to this and you're part of a major event staff like the Rose Bowl, hit me up. Yeah,
totally.
Because I would love to just be learn a fly
everything.
On the wall.
Yeah.
I will volunteer. To be in your meetings.
Just to watch the meetings.
Yeah. I mean, I think it would be incredible.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, the amount of pre-planning and logistics and
yes.
the level of plan A all the way down to Z
yes.
thoughts that you have to have is...
Yes.
It can be really challenging. And then there's things that happen that I've like literally never in however long I've been doing this have happened. Right?
What do you mean?
Like, well, because I do think I believe now more than ever that the Lord has his hand on the vineyard in a mm-hmm. way that is causing frustration to the enemy mm. in terms of disrupting mm. things that I just haven't experienced. Like
yeah.
at Better Together, we're there, we're doing the thing, great yeah. things are happening. And then we're under like this major tornado watch where we're like the whole building and the parking lot starts flooding.
Yeah, yeah.
And we have to start like plan B, like water literally starts coming through the ceiling.
Through the ceiling. Yeah.
There's just things like that. Or we had, you know, one of our national conferences, a total power outage yes. minutes before a session starts.
Yeah, literally all gone.
Yeah. Like yeah. just zap, done. Yeah. And we are all like,
what do we do
now? What are we going to yeah. do? How yeah. are we going to divert?
There's thousands of people.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. However many people. And, right. and you know, anyway, so like, there just have been so many things like that that have happened.
Yeah.
And so when you start talking about logistics and then you're also trying to figure out like, I hate this phrase, but like the devil in the details. It's like
yeah.
the amount of prayer and intercession that's also needed.
Yes.
Over things like light fixtures.
Yeah, totally.
I've never prayed so hard for
sound and worship.
Yeah,
and,
all of that.
Yeah,
you know,
totally. Travel, the amount of times people...
Yes.
can't get right. to the event.
And you're yeah. like, okay, well, who's up? Like, who you're going to tag
yeah.
in? And so it's a monster of events logistics.
Yeah.
Event logistics can be monstrous.
summer, Vineyard USA is hosting our national conference, Melody and Harmony, in two locations, Denver, Colorado on June 16th through 19th and Cincinnati, Ohio on July 14th through 17th. We hope that by offering two locations and dates, everyone, pastors, leaders, volunteers, even those just curious about the Vineyard, that everyone will be able to find a time to join us. The conference will also have specific programming for adults, youth, and kids. As far as our theme, throughout history, the Lord has been composing a beautiful melody through the story of his people and his church. And for the past 50 years, the Vineyard Movement has had the privilege of adding its own unique harmony to this grand symphony. Registration is now open, so make sure to check out vineyardusa.org to learn more and register today.
So what would you say, like, so there's people who run their Sunday teams, or they run this big conference for the youth and whatever, or they run the men's retreat for the region, or what do you think are things that you've learned along the way? Like, if you could talk to yourself when you were running all those events, like 20 years ago, mm-hmm. and say, hey, listen up, like, here's some things you need to know so you can do this better. Mm-hmm. Like, one I hear you saying is, this is more spiritual work than you realize. This isn't just mm-hmm. spreadsheets. This is prayer. That's what I'm hearing when mm-hmm. I'm hearing you. Like, there is a kingdom dynamic to this that you need yeah. to hold in front of you. What else would you want to say?
I would also say probably that the really boring details, what I mean by that is, like, you have to book the venue and you need to figure out how many rooms you have. Like, all that stuff yeah. probably needs to be step one. Mm. And then the fun stuff like content and building. Like, mm. I think you have to build bones before you can put meat on bones.
That's good. Yeah.
And so when you start thinking about hosting anything, mm-hmm. it's pretty important that you know the venue really well and yeah. how it's going to work and how it's functioning, you know. Like, does it have enough parking for people to be coming in and out yeah. of the building?
Yeah.
Or what's the capacity of the rooms before you start selling tickets?
Yeah, yeah.
You know, there's those kinds of things.
Important details.
Yeah. Yep. And also, one challenge that we sometimes hear when I'm coaching people through mm. is when you're in a venue space you're not familiar with, it is sometimes challenging for your support team to reorient themselves to being a new person in that room.
Yeah.
So, like, when you host things at your church, you know that building like the back of your hand. So yeah. you understand what kids room B means and where right. it is in the building
yes. Yes.
in a way that you might not understand in another
yes.
place. And so having good walkthroughs and with your whole team is super helpful.
That's good.
Yeah. And I would also say, like, when you're hosting things in, even in your own building sometimes, or if you're hosting on behalf of someone else, let's say, like, my experience generally is that we are guests in someone else's home church.
Yep.
And which we are eternally grateful to.
Yeah.
And then it can also be challenging for that home church when we say, I know this is a youth room on Sunday, right. For our event, it's going to be
a classroom
yeah, or totally. A workshop room, or yep. we're going to use it in this way.
Yep, yep.
And it's a little disorienting for people who are familiar with
yep.
how their space works, we're and then set also up like food hosting in here. Something else.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Totally. Yep.
You know, and so trying to, like,
yep.
have people come through their building with, like, fresh eyes who haven't been there before and point out all the ways in which it's challenging for a guest.
Yes,
I think is very helpful when That's you're thinking good. Of having an event in your building. Or hosting on behalf of somebody else, because you yes. don't see the blind spots. You know, you've no. got blind spots that you can't see.
So. Well, and quick shout out to all churches that are in places people like to travel. Mm-hmm. So if you have a church building or an angle on buildings,
yeah.
so you might know a retreat center, or you know someone who owns a hotel mm-hmm. or, you know, has a really cool camping area or a building that's, like, near a beach or mm-hmm. a mountain. We are always looking right. for places to host, because we have all kinds of events from 50 people to 5,000 people.
Yep.
That the number one expense is going to be travel and housing mm-hmm. for these events. So
yeah.
if you have a hotel next to your building, that's a huge deal. if you have some kind of a housing angle, you mm-hmm. know someone who owns that hotel who, if it's the off season, because we can also pick random dates. We can pick dates that aren't high travel and use those and still go to a nice place.
Yeah.
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 So shout out to all Vineyard pastors who, or any pastor or any person.
Any person. Yeah. Let me know. We'll get creative. Know
who you are, because we want to hear that. Okay. So let's shift just a little bit. Like, it's not a lot, but just a little bit. When you think about, you know, all of the years of you're running all these different events, you know, so you're doing a leadership team meeting, a national conference. We have the things that go horribly wrong. Mm-hmm. So the ceiling's leaking. We need not do those. Mm-hmm. What are some of your highlight moments? Like, when you think about, man, this event or this way this came together mm-hmm. was beyond what I would have imagined.
I think the first one that pops out to me is the global mm-hmm. conference.
Yeah, totally.
I mean, I just felt like,
oh, it was amazing.
It was amazing.
And a disaster.
Well, you said not to talk about that.
I'm just saying it was hard. I mean, it was so hard. Flying from literally everywhere.
It was so hard. Right, and there's probably somebody that's going to be listening like, I was there.
That
it
wasn't great for
was
me.
It was not great for me. Totally, I totally get that. Yes.
But that's 2000.
That was like
16? I'm just picking numbers out of my head.
I think it was
15. Okay.
Because it was after the All-In conference, which was in 13, I think.
Yep, 15 sounds right. I was going to say 15 or 16 was in my head, but you're right. I think you're right. And so, that was, you know, the global conference was everyone from all over the world. Let's all come together.
Let's invite everybody.
Right.
And
they did. They came.
Yes, everybody came. And I think part of what made that such a highlight for me was that I worked with different ministries of the Vineyard in a way that I hadn't gotten to yet. So, like Vineyard Missions, for example, really took leadership of visas and invitation letters helping host people and find places and hospitality spaces for international guests.
Yep.
Or like Melissa with Vineyard Worship was like took on hosting like our party, like the global night that we did, which we had like an audacious goal of having this like international food festival, and it was just so fun.
It worked.
I mean, it worked really well, and she worked so hard to coordinate that with others.
That was incredible.
And even our international directors were such good sports. They had no idea what we were asking them to do.
That we were going to run them through the ringer, right?
They had no idea. Yeah, totally. And bless them.
Yeah.
Like, not like in the Texas way.
Like for real, bless them.
For real, bless them.
Right, right.
And so I think that was just really fun. Mm. And yes, it was hard, but that was a highlight.
Yeah.
Think of other smaller events, like when we would do like leadership council meetings and stuff that would like, there were certain kinds of things that I was like, man, I did not think that was going to work. And it did. Like we one day were like, let's put all the regions at various restaurants across the city.
Right. And see if anyone will show up.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. You know, and we like gave them all like maps and they're like walking all over the place. We had reservations all over the place and like all the regions like showed up and they all hosted their dinners together and they all made it back with minimal, you know, frustration.
Totally.
And I just was like, okay, that worked.
Yes.
Like, and that it felt like people were like, oh, we really enjoyed that. That was like, we enjoyed getting together with just our region in this thing. So I think it's mostly like I can think of like little points that happen
through events. Yeah, to create a connection.
Like a little bit,
yeah.
That create a connection for people like where they really felt served or they felt that the thing was planned with them in mind. I think like even better together, like that was the idea in and of itself was like, man, let's see if we can actually do this. And if it feels like it was a service to the, you know, the conference attendees in mind.
Yes.
And based on like feedback, again, please don't email me if you thought it was terrible. You already got to fill out a survey.
You already did it. Yeah.
No. Totally. And honestly, it was,
right.
I heard from even our association leaders is like, okay, that was actually like,
yeah, that helped. Right.
It was a cool thing. And people felt really served through that. So I think that makes my heart feel good. It makes our team, you know,
totally.
Feel really good when we know we were part of something that was impactful.
That's right.
And memorable.
And what would you say, and we can start landing here. What do you think makes for like the best kind of venue hosts? You know, so like if I'm someone that's going to work with Vineyard USA, what makes me like a good host? Like we're going to host in our building, or our team is going to help create the volunteers for the conference or for the meeting or for the event. What makes it, what makes your job easier?
I think having a team lead who is on, not necessarily on staff, but definitely connected to and has access to every person and every part of the building
particular
on
person.
That team, a particular person who is the primary liaison, team lead, is incredibly helpful. An open-handedness for spaces or even for different roles of like, I usually do this thing, but now I'm supporting in this way. Well, it's not, you know, it's to be able to help clarify and redefine like, okay, but like for this week, this is how we're going to
We'll just do whatever. Right.
Yeah. Flexibility is huge. And then also like having a point person that you can delegate as lead for different pieces. What I mean by that is like AV tech or like rooms, like the venue, like chairs, tables, you know, that sort of thing. Or even when it comes to different like hospitality places, like part of like we have ideas and opinions of, you know, of course, but at the same time, I don't need to come in and recreate a wheel if there's something that you, your team already knows, like a, how to host a thing or like, oh, we always put our coffee like here. I don't necessarily need to rethink that. That's great.
Whatever you're going
to
do.
Yeah. And if you have a team to do that, that knows how that works. Awesome. Yeah. I don't want to rework that actually. But if you're, if I can talk to you about like, hey, can we actually use the building until like midnight? Would that be cool with your custodial team? Or can we like beef this piece up? And being willing to have conversations about that is super helpful.
That's good. So yeah, my house is your house. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's land the plane like this. Here's what I, and you may or may not be prepared to answer this.
Probably am not prepared to answer.
No, I think you are. Because you said it earlier. You said, man, I have more faith than ever that God intends to use the Vineyard. I know the Lord is with us to do a thing. Tell me what that means to you. What gives you confidence? What are you seeing? What are you imagining? What are you hopeful for? What creates that sense of momentum for you?
I think that as I show up in different spaces or at different like events here and there, to see what some of our local churches are doing and the way that they're serving their local communities and have real, see like favor from the Lord, like just the number of baptisms and people coming to Christ or the ways in which they've got like a unique partnership that wouldn't have popped up had they not been in a room together. And then all of a sudden they're serving refugees in a way or, you know, like meeting the needs of their community. And I sometimes think about like, I am super excited about the Vineyard being a place that my kids and grandkids could land.
Yeah.
I see the ways in which Vineyard is intentionally trying to build a legacy and moving from a pioneering taking the land, which I think had it's
important.
Was very important. And I'm super grateful for those that kind of went before my generation. And then also handing it off to being a little bit healthier and a little bit stronger than maybe, you know, that we can build on it, that it's something that we can build on and the foundation is strong.
Yeah.
And so that way, when I say to somebody in my family or a friend, oh, go to this Vineyard church, I can actually confidently say that's a place I would want them to be.
Yeah.
Because I just don't know that that's always been true, but I have a ton of faith that we are shoring up some lines to say like, this is who we want to be. This is how we want to show up in the world.
Yes.
And that that's going to be the same across the board.
Yes.
Because we feel like that's what God has called us to be. We're called to be followers of Jesus and like Jesus. So let's hold us to a greater accountability for that.
The stability, the fruit you're seeing of people just being faithful over time. Because you've also been in vineyards for a long time. So it's not just you've been working for the Vineyard.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. That's cool. Those are, I see what you see. Yeah. And I think what's interesting is to think about how the Vineyard really historically and throughout has been a conferencing movement. So a lot of the work that you do was what the Vineyard's done for a long time. Like from the beginning, we rent a big place and worship and teach and minister. And in some ways, a lot of even our churches were formed out of that conferencing space. So they're like, well, I want to do this. And so we'll go do church. We'll do what we just saw in this conference every Sunday and maybe on Wednesdays, and we'll build small groups. But to see us evolve to where the conferences now, I mean, the language we've been using a lot is that the conferences we have are starting lines, not finish lines.
Right.
So at this conference, we're trying to give you tools. We're trying to give you partnerships with something like Alpha or a missions opportunity, or here's some training material you can use.
Yeah.
That's a different way of understanding. And that the goal is for you to not just replicate what you saw here on the stage, but to build your churches a certain way.
Right. And to do that in a way that still has context to your local community. So it's like, okay, well, if this resource doesn't fit, we're not, it's not like a mandate. We're just saying, like, how can we help you?
That's right.
Wherever you are, and grow into, I mean, it's your own thing and it's the Vineyard's thing, right? Yep. So, yeah, I think too, I don't know, I guess some of it feels a little bit like when you talk to people who planted churches decades ago, oftentimes they can point to an event that they were at that they heard a thing or that God showed up strongly, and that's where they felt like they were commissioned.
An encounter, a prophetic word.
And it typically points back to a gathering. Yep. And I don't hold that lightly.
Yeah.
I think every event that I put my hand to, somebody's life will likely be changed. Something will happen, because that's just been kind of the history of how God has commissioned people in our movement. True. So, and I think that will continue. So when, like a starting point, it's like, okay, well, that's a starting point. You feel like God called you, and now we actually have a next step. So like, you don't actually have to like move to a city and try to find somebody who will help you learn how to pastor. Now we have pathways within our movement that you can raise your hand and say, hey, you know.
For church planting. For missions.
Exactly.
For this training. I mean, I think I heard our Alpha thing, our Alpha, the stats we came back with was 400 and some Alpha courses were run last year. That's crazy.
Yeah. They're talking about like, if you ran Alpha, you probably did it like 2.5 times or something. Yeah. It's
that's insane.
Yeah.
I mean, that's, and that's because we form a relationship. We talk a little bit about how to do it. You could be in a workshop and do the thing. You just do that enough times, people run those. And so I don't even know how many. It's got to be thousands of people baptized. I mean, that's insane. I mean, that's, but that happens because you create an you create a space, you do all the things.
That's right.
Create an announcement. And the amount of people, like some of our partners work with, either helping them organize their books, like something like Start Church, or the partnerships with Convoy. Convoy has now helped. Vineyards have been distribution points for humanitarian. All of those little things are always happening, but a conference enables us to talk about that and create a context where you can learn about it and apply that. So it's a big deal. That's really cool. That's, well, I, for one, and I've said this over and over, I'm really grateful for you. I mean, I'm grateful you started working for the Vineyard when you were 12 and that you that you continue to do this, because you've been through a lot of change, and that amount of change can often make it to where people find a way off the bus, but you just keep serving and giving your life away for this movement. There's so much fruit.
Well, thanks, Jay. And it's an incredible time to be in the Vineyard.
It's pretty fun.
So
I agree. Well, I'm grateful for you. And then in the show notes, again, people can hear your story, and then we'll have probably some different ways that you can relate to some of what we talked about here. Because, for example, your beautiful building near a beach, we would love to do a meeting, stuff like that.
Exactly. Put my email in there.
Yeah, thanks, Christian.
Yeah.
The We Are Vineyard podcast is a production from the team at Vineyard USA. If you've been enjoying the podcast, here are a few ways you can help us. Leave us a review on the podcast platform of your choice. This helps more people find us. Connect with us online for additional resources. Our website is vineyardusa.org, and we're on Instagram, Facebook, and X at Vineyard USA. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next week.